Harry Bosch sits across from police psychologist Carmen Hinojos, reluctantly participating in mandatory therapy after assaulting his lieutenant. The fluorescent-lit office becomes the stage for an unwanted but necessary excavation of his psyche. Back at his earthquake-damaged home in the Hollywood Hills, officially condemned but secretly inhabited, Bosch finds unexpected solace in careful restoration work. The physical labor of repairing his house becomes both escape and therapy, each precisely measured cut and expertly driven nail representing a small step toward order. Throughout these dark days, Bosch returns repeatedly to the mantra that has defined his career: everybody counts or nobody counts. This isn't just a catchphrase, but the crystallization of his entire moral framework, a principle forged in his childhood experiences in orphanages and foster homes. It's this unwavering commitment to equal justice that compels him to revisit an old case that has haunted him since his youth, despite knowing that pursuing it could shatter what remains of his career. Dressed in his best suit, Bosch retrieves the murder book for case number 61743, his mother's homicide, from LAPD storage. Clerk Geneva Bupre's whispered, "Good luck," acknowledges the gravity of his quest. At home, playing Clifford Brown, Bosch opens the binder. A memory surfaces, himself at 11, crying alone after learning of his mother's death. The yellowed pages reveal a perfunctory investigation by detectives who repeatedly labeled Marjorie Phillips Lowe as a prostitute rather than a murder victim deserving thorough investigation. Bosch spots critical inconsistencies. Death by blunt force trauma with post-mortem strangulation, suggesting someone disguised a personal crime as random. An interview with Johnny Fox, her pimp, is missing, and a curious entry mentions prosecutor Arno Conklin requesting an undocumented meeting. Following an old Christmas card address, Bosch finds Catherine Register, his mother's closest friend. She embraces him tearfully and shows him a treasured photograph of himself as a boy with his mother at the Griffith Park Carousel, a tangible link to his lost past. As Bosch delves into his mother's case, his isolation grows. After arguing with Edgar, he wanders Santa Monica, giving money to the homeless, showing empathy for society's forgotten ones who, like his mother, might be denied justice. At Mr. B's jazz bar, he drinks alone to "What a Wonderful World," missing Sylvia, who left months ago. He notices a woman with a getaway face, beauty that shields from consequences, foreshadowing Jasmine's brief role in his solitary life. Driving home, Bosch encounters a coyote in blue mist. Their eyes meet before it disappears. This blue coyote symbolizes Bosch himself, a solitary hunter surviving on society's edges. To Carmen Hinojos, he describes it as looking sad and threatening at the same time, perfectly capturing his self-image. When Catherine learns of his investigation, she tearfully recounts how she and his mother were the two musketeers, friends supporting each other through single motherhood in 1960s Los Angeles. Her account confirms his suspicion that the original investigation was deliberately shallow because his mother was labeled a party girl with police connections. Bosch learns from journalist Keisha Russell that Johnny Fox died in a suspicious hit and run in 1962 while distributing materials for Arno Conklin's DA campaign. Campaign manager Gordon Middle claimed Fox was a recent hire, suspicious given his connection to Marjorie Lowe. Through prosecutor Roger Goff, Bosch discovers Conklin is still alive in an upscale retirement home. Goff describes Middle as Conklin's ruthless bulldog, who became a powerful yet reclusive political fundraiser, helping elect officials while avoiding publicity. At the print lab, when technician Brad Hirsch refuses to run his mother's case fingerprints through modern systems, Bosch shares how at age 12, a detective promised they'd catch his mother's killer because they had fingerprints as good as gold. Bosch leaves the print card saying, "Everybody wants the chance to do the right thing." Catherine later admits withholding information after receiving threats, She reveals his mother planned to meet Conklin at an exclusive Hancock Park party and shows Bosch letters his mother had written pleading for his return from foster care, revealing her fierce love for him. Bosch tracks down retired detective Jake McKittrick in Florida. After a tense confrontation at gunpoint on water, McKittrick recognizes Bosch as Marjorie Lowe's orphan son. The swimming pool, you're the kid. McKittrick explains how the investigation changed when Arno Conklin privately summoned Claude Eno, who then ordered them to back off Johnny Fox, claiming he was an informant. Gordon Middle was present during the Fox interview. McKittrick kept the belt and fingerprint card for years, returning them only after Conklin left politics. He discovered Fox's interview had been removed from the murder book, likely concealing Conklin's involvement. Later, Bosch meets portrait painter Jasmine Corian. Their connection deepens over dinner and becomes intimate. In darkness, they share regrets. Bosch confesses taking another boy's shoes at youth hall and letting a lover go. Jazz admits holding on to someone she shouldn't have, like being mesmerized by a train's headlight while standing on the tracks. In Las Vegas, Bosch finds key evidence in Eno's office, missing pages from his mother's murder book and bank statements showing monthly $1,000 deposits over decades. Corporate records reveal McCage Inc. formed in 1962 with Eno, Middle, and Conklin as officers, pointing to corruption. When confronting Conklin, Bosch meets a frail old man who confesses he loved Marjorie and planned to marry her. They'd arranged to get Bosch from youth hall the night she died. Conklin blames Middle for killing Marjorie to protect his political career. Fingerprint analysis exonerates Middle. During therapy, Carmen Hinojos highlights inconsistencies about the murder weapon, a belt with a seashell buckle. Fingerprints from Meredith Roman's Christmas card match those on the belt. The truth emerges. Marjorie was going to marry Conklin. When visiting Meredith, something went wrong, and Meredith killed her in jealousy. Confronting her, Bosch discovers she's committed suicide, leaving a confession that she killed Marjorie because she was leaving for a life with Bosch. In their final session, Carmen helps Bosch release his guilt over his mother's death. That's taking too much responsibility, she insists, urging him to let it go, a crucial step in healing. The novel concludes with Bosch flying to Tampa to reconnect with Jasmine. In her apartment, he notices a shadowy portrait of himself, while in her studio, she's working on another that already captures his essence. I thought that if I painted you, you would come back, she says. Their reunion culminates in an embrace that feels like a bandage for his wounds. Looking at the blue bay, he recalls Johnny Fox's advice to grab on for dear life when you find someone who fits. Though uncertain if she's the one, he holds Jasmine with everything I have left. Like the coyote that gives the novel its title, Bosch remains a solitary hunter who recognizes his need for others. A detective who has finally turned his investigative skills inward to solve his own broken heart.